It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Minority leaders in the West Virginia state legislature react to Governor Jim Justice's State of the State address. They worry there could be economic disruptions that would upset projected revenue surplus for the rest of the year.
So we may see the beginning this particular session of a decline in that revenue budget. So we've got to be cautious.
We'll hear more about the concerns of House and Senate minority leaders in just a moment. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Fighting the drug epidemic continues to be a top priority for lawmakers and public health officials in West Virginia. Carol Lofton reports for Morgantown, where West Virginia School of Public Health hosted a panel on harm reduction, focusing on medical, law enforcement, and community strategies around syringe exchange programs.
The panel began with presentations from the three experts, a New York physician researching drug use, HIV, and hepatitis C, a WVU-affiliated physician who talked about how to look for solutions when it's hard to see a path forward, and a law enforcement consultant with the North Carolina Harm Reduction Coalition. The general premise? Harm reduction is a really effective way to reduce the spread of needle-borne illnesses, but getting the community on board, including law enforcement officers, takes some work. Here's North Carolina investigator Donnie Varnell.
We know in law enforcement you cannot arrest your way out of the substance abuse issue.
Varnell has been instrumental in starting a program in North Carolina called Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion, or LEAD. The idea is to give police the discretion to redirect low-level drug offenders and prostitutes to community-based services, including treatment, rather than arresting them.
Arresting them doesn't help them. It doesn't make them stop. And I think in law enforcement you've seen the shift now to divert people from incarceration into services.
LEAD programs are becoming more popular across the country, with operating partnerships in California, Oregon, and Georgia, among others. The West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources awarded eight $60,000 grants last year to start LEAD services in Southern West Virginia. Other states, including Kentucky, are in the process of developing and launching their own initiatives. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
The 2019 West Virginia legislative session is now in full swing, and West Virginia Public Broadcasting is bringing you in-depth coverage every weekday night on our program, The Legislature Today. In last night's episode, host Suzanne Higgins spoke with House Minority Leader Tim Miley and Senate Minority Leader Roman Prezioso about Governor Jim Justice's third State of the State address. Here's an excerpt from that interview live from the Capitol.
Senator, let's begin with you. The governor started with the revenue collections, the biggest surplus in state history. How much credit do you believe the governor can take for that position, the economic rebound in the last 6 to 8 months?
Well, when you look at any time period in history, I don't think that we've ever been in a more than a five-year period where we've been in a recession. And then we come out of that and we're in some prosperity. He just happens to be at a time in this particular, his tenure, that we're coming out of this, our revenues are growing. There are reasons for that. Obviously, the gas industry and the pipeline industry, we're selling more coal overseas and things of that sort. And he's enjoying this prosperity. I don't think it was anything that he did in particular. It was just this time in our history where we're coming out of the recession. We've enjoyed some prosperity.
And we've heard the Deputy Secretary of Revenue give a warning that, you know, once the pipeline construction wraps up and the forecast for coal exports is thought to flatten over the next couple years, these large surpluses, they may not be future.
We may realize that in the second half of the 2019 budget. Right now, there's a lawsuit, an environmental lawsuit in Virginia, that actually has closed down the pipeline operations in building all this infrastructure and pipelines. I've seen firsthand where these man camps are vacant now. I've driven through cities that have had a multitude of mobile homes and trailers and things of that sort. And right before Christmas, when the lawsuit came into place, these places are vacant. They're desolate. So we've heard from the gas folks that if the lawsuit is settled now, it's probably until April before they can get back to work. That's going to be reflected in the income tax line item and also the sales tax line item. So we may see the beginning this particular session of a decline in that revenue budget. So we've got to be cautious. I think caution is the word that stands out in my mind that I'm going to look forward to when I look at this budget.
And Delegate Miley, that brings us to the question of the budget that's being considered now. The governor proposed some tax cuts. He proposed several spending initiatives. He declared there would be no new taxes. And I know in the past couple days, the Democrats, the minority party, has aired that concern. You know, when you add everything up, that's way, way beyond what we even have in surplus right now.
Well, to follow up on what Senator Prezioso said, managing the state's budget shouldn't be a political issue of a Democrat or Republican issue. It needs to be a fiscally responsible issue. And just because we have one good year, and that's all we've had so far, is one good year, and the year's not even over yet, I should remind everyone. But we cannot spend all the money we have in this one good year to build aspects of the budget that are going to be there for every year hereafter. And so we need to be careful about making sure we spend it wisely. The pay raises for the public employees, we totally support. The elimination of the Social Security tax or the income tax on Social Security income, we totally support. But we're not supportive at this point of getting rid of the business and inventory tax for a couple of reasons. Number one, the tax that's raised by that, or the money that's raised by that tax, I should say, goes to fund our local county school systems. If you get rid of that tax, you have a hole to fill. And the only place to get that money to fill that hole is by increasing your property taxes to be able to fund your school systems. And if that's where they plan on going to get the money to fill that hole, we're against it. If they can identify another funding mechanism, we would certainly consider supporting it. But we're not going to trade business, you know, give businesses a tax break and put it on the backs of the citizens, especially when we are already the 19th best business tax state in the country, and that's determined by an independent, objective, outside source.
And that money, of course, goes to county commissions, and we've talked to county commissioners who've said they just can't, you know, take that punch. They wouldn't be able to make up that money. He says that education is the centerpiece of his agenda. Delegate Miley mentioned the pay raise. I know that you support that. He's targeting $150 million for PEIA. I wanted to talk about differential pay to compensate, attract, retain math teachers, which we desperately need. How do you feel about that?
There's a definite need, not only for math teachers, foreign language teachers, science teachers, and also right now special ed teachers. At one time when I was in the school system, you know, if you got into a special ed program, you got into the school system when teachers were a premium. But we're lacking in with those individuals in our school system now. I think the problem that they're going to have is if you've raised the salaries enough for all teachers, taking into consideration, you know, the physical education teachers are the most needed right now, from what I understand. You know, you're going to have problems trying to design a system where you have differentiated pay, and how's that going to, you know, be applicable, and who's going to make those decisions. I think if you raise the salaries of teachers and get it to the point where you can hire teachers and put certified teachers in the classroom, I think we have to concentrate more on that right now than specifically towards targeting certain groups of teachers.
That was Suzanne Higgins speaking with minority leaders Roman Prezioso and Tim Miley on the legislature today. To hear the full interview, visit our website on wvpublic.org. Our Mountain Stage Song of the Week comes from the Mountain Goats, the Gray King and the Silver Flame attunement from their albums, Goth.
In the secret caverns underneath West Covina, half desperate for peace, with the surface dwellers, but coming to no conclusions. And now we emerge, sky gray and misty. The gray king in his new Pontiac. Some of us sworn to the effort, trying to get our shapes back. Teeth filed down to fine points, framework too tight, strain at the joints. And I'm hardcore, but I'm not that hardcore. I'm hardcore, but I'm not that hardcore. I'm hardcore, but I'm not that hardcore. I'm pretty hardcore, but I'm not that hardcore. In the car with him, scared of dying, all eyes on the front seat, assuming his form, reborn in the heat. And I'm hardcore, but I'm not that hardcore. I'm hardcore, but I'm not that hardcore. I'm hardcore, but I'm not that hardcore. I'm pretty hardcore, but I'm not that hardcore.
The Mountain Goats performing our Mountain Stage Song of the Week, The Gray King and the Silver Flame Attunement. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.